Augustine Fuentes recently published a book called Race, Monogamy, and Other Lies They Told You. In the book, he takes a myth-buster approach. Can you talk a little bit about the types of myths about human nature that people believe in and that you try to debunk?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is we have so much information from biology, from anthropology, from psychology that stays within the ivory tower, right? It doesn't get out to the public. And because of that, there's a lot of ideas about what it means to be human, like humans are naturally aggressive, or that the difference between the sexes is enormous, or that race is a biological thing. It turns out all those things are myths.
One of the things you talk about is the difference between men and women are maybe bigger than we think they are. Are men and
actually
women
smaller?
That's what I meant to say. The differences are smaller. The similarities are bigger. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So everyone tends to think of men and women as two different things, right? The thing we have to always realize is we're the same species. Males and females are actually variation on a theme, Homo sapiens, right? That's who we are. That's our species. And so people start off with this assumption that what we see in our society today, the way adult men and women behave, people think that's mostly related to the difference in their biology. And it turns out that a lot of those differences are something we call gender, which is how we develop socially across our lives. So a lot of people assume that the differences we see between men and women in behavior are biological, when in fact they're cultural. And I think that's really important. Something as simple as height, right? On average, men are taller than women, about 10%, 15% taller. That's one of the biggest differences. If you look at hundreds of behavioral variables, like what people actually do, the overlap is enormous, 90, 80, 90%.
And where does monogamy come into play here?
So we do have this base of being pair bonded. That's not necessarily the same as being monogamous. And the whole thing of explaining women want just to find one guy and guys want to find as much as they can, if you actually go out and talk to people and look at what people really do, the difference is very small. Most humans actually want the same thing.
So when you say that it's not in our nature to be monogamous with one partner for our whole lives.
I didn't really say that.
Okay.
Here's what I mean. It's not that it's not in our nature. It's in our nature to pair bond, to form these tight relationships. Now, this may be involving sex, and it may be with a partner that you're married to. My argument is that we're not naturally going to find one person and then not be interested or attracted to other people throughout the rest of our lives. However, socially, it's really important for us. Monogamy and marriage are actually important parts of our society. And so we have the ability to decide how we behave. But just because we fall in love with someone doesn't mean we won't be attracted to other people.
Yeah, that's interesting because we do have a very strict social structure where it's really looked down upon if you are looking elsewhere.
That's why this myth is important to bust. Because I think it's important when people make a strong commitment like marriage to one another to really discuss that and to understand what it means. But for someone to expect that once you're married, you magically lose all interest and attraction for other people, that's not the way it works. You ideally are most attracted or most committed to your partner, but that doesn't mean you're not going to feel things or, encounter people. So it's really important that people realize that those things are part of who we are, and then you can choose or not to act on them.
Another myth that you like to talk about is the idea that we're divided into different races. And I saw a blog that you wrote on Huffington Post recently about how the Obama administration should change the way government looks at different races. How do you think the government should reclassify the way it looks at race?
In a nutshell, the problem with the way we classify races right now is there's an assumption that there's a biological basis, that black, white, Asian actually have this biological root and therefore is meaningful. It turns out that's not true. These classifications are social constructs. They're created, right? We have a history and we can understand that history and why people divide people up in that way. The problem is there is a reality to race in this country, that is, being black or white or Asian or any of the other sort of classifications actually means something in the society. We're not all even and equal in that social context. Because of that, if we think these are biological differences, then people are going to think that they're natural, and that's the way the world is. But if we recognize that they're social constructs, then there's something that we can change. even changing it slightly would take out that underpinning of biology.
What kind of slight changes are you talking about? Like, is there an example?
Yeah, if you look at all the actual definitions, the U.S. government definitions, you can go on to the census website and have a look at them. You will find that only one of the many categories of race has a biological definition in it. Everyone else is based on an original people's, a social construct, a historical construct. But Black or African American are actually referred to with a biologized term.
Another thing that you look at is human aggression and the idea of having an inner beast. A lot of people tend to think that men are more violent than women and that maybe some people think humans are naturally aggressive. Can you bust that myth for us?
Yeah, so, and I'll be talking a lot about this at the talk, really. It's not all sex and violence, even though sex and violence is important and does happen. A lot of people think that humans, men in particular, are sort of, you know, basal beasts, that if we strip away the veneer of culture, what you get is a bunch of guys clubbing each other, and whoever clubs the most, you know, gets the girl or something like that. Well, first off, that's not true. What people do better than anything else is cooperate and help out other people. It's absolutely amazing how much we ignore how much cooperation plays.
Yeah, it's a really optimistic way to look at the human species.
Well, it is in one sense, but it's also a very realistic way to look at the human species. And it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen or people aren't aggressive or people don't use violence, because they do. The problem is, you know, for every one shooting that we hear about, which is a horrible thing, we never hear about the thousands or tens of thousands of acts of kindness that happen that same day.
Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. My pleasure.
That was a conversation with University of Notre Dame professor Augustine Fuentes. He'll be delivering a lecture tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the University Center Auditorium at UTC. The lecture is sponsored by UTC's Departments of Psychology and Women's Studies, as well as the University of Notre Dame Club of Chattanooga. For WUTC, I'm Mary Helen Miller.